lovelies, welcome to Almost Married, the podcast for all the brides and grooms to learn all the tips and tricks to plan the wedding of your dreams. I'm your host, Allie Armstrong, and I'm so excited you joined us and to be a small part of your big day. Welcome back to the Almost Married podcast. I'm your host, Allie Armstrong, and it has been a minute. I apologize. I got a little bit busy there and haven't recorded in a little while. So I'm happy to be back with you, and I'm back in the studio. And today I have two lovely guests with me. We have Veronica Gomes from Emmy Hair and Jasmine Hoffman, who's an incredible makeup artist. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you for being here today to talk everything beauty. And I just want to, you know, hear all of your tips and tricks of the trade so our listeners know what to expect while they're prepping for their big day. Because I know hair and makeup is a really big part.
Big part.
Of everyone's wedding day, especially for those brides out there. So again, as always, I have some hot questions for you all. And yes, before we get started, I want to share where everyone can find you on Instagram. So we've got Veronica Gomes, emmy.hair on Instagram, and Jasmine Hoffman. At Jasmine Hoffman. Yeah. So they are incredible and well-known in the Vancouver area. And we'll get into the hair extension questions later, but Emmy has their own brand of hair extensions, which are available globally, essentially. Yeah. So we will get more into that.
Awesome.
So to start us off, I want to know what the most important thing a bride needs to take into consideration when choosing a hairstylist and when choosing a makeup artist. So the first kind of questions I have for you are for both of you, and then we'll get into more. I'm going to put you both in the hot seat one by one after that.
Awesome.
But to start us, yes. Yeah, so what, Veronica, we'll start with you for hair. What is the most important thing, you know, a bride should consider when they're choosing a stylist?
I would have to say there's a couple most important things. The first being, you want to make sure that your stylist is experienced or your hairstylist is experienced in weddings, just because timing is a very big part of a wedding day. Mm-hmm. You just want to make sure that your stylist can execute your goals in a certain amount of time.
Right. I guess it brings up a really good point, because not every stylist does weddings, and they are a whole other beast.
Completely different from just your day-to-day salon services. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure they can execute your vision, of course. But also another important thing is you want to make sure that they have great energy, because you need to remember that these people are going to be a part of your big day.
Yes.
And they are
the first people a bride's going to see in the morning, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. So is this the team that you see yourself sharing your big day with, basically?
Yeah, great advice. What about you, Jasmine? Anything in particular that people should take into consideration?
Well, I think that's really important. And also, I think it's really important to pick somebody that matches your personal style. So mm-hmm. if you like, you know, a very, very natural look, then it's good to go with an artist that does more of like the natural style. And then if you like the really super, super glam look, it's good to go with an artist that does that kind of a style. I'm kind of in a middle range. I can do natural, but I can do super glam. So I call it natural glam. And
awesome.
But yeah, I think it's really important to definitely have a trial so you can kind of make sure that you're both on the same page. Mm-hmm. And then you can create the look that you envision together. And sometimes it's kind of like wedding dress shopping. You might have a look that you've always thought you wanted, and then you try it and it's not you. And that's yeah. okay, because you can always try as many trials as you want to get the exact style that you want.
That is a huge takeaway. And I would almost say we haven't even done the whole episode today, but almost say that's probably the number one takeaway is trials. And, you know, you're going to test drive a car before you buy it. So
exactly.
And like, to your point, you might be absolutely thrilled with that particular artist, but you actually like a different look than you thought mm-hmm. you would have wanted. So trying out the style and the makeup look in advance, make sure you're happy. And then there's no surprises day yeah. of, you know, because I, even as a wedding planner, somebody will describe to me what they want. And then we'll get to the sample table where we put together the decor and the flowers. And they're like, oh, I don't like that flower. I'm like, but you said you loved peonies. Yeah. But until people see it together, it's really hard. Sometimes there's things that are lost in translation.
And then I also find too, like if you have, like you're really unsure of the look that you want with your dress and the venue, because that all goes hand in hand too. If you want like a super glam look with like a red lip, but you're getting married in like a windy mountaintop, that's not going to be maybe the best look for you. So I also recommend to my brides as well, when they're doing their trial, maybe afterwards do like their wedding dress fitting so they can see the hair and the makeup the dress all together if they're really unsure of the look that they want. And then that way they can get a good idea of what it's going to look like on the wedding day. Because a lot of the time the bride doesn't see the whole look until the wedding day.
So true.
And that's a time that they can feel a little overwhelmed and feel like, oh, this isn't me. Or it can be completely opposite where they're just so excited that they finally get to see the look together. But I think if that's something that you're kind of unsure about, it's definitely a good idea to do.
It's incredible. Hair or makeup trial, same day as a dress fitting. Voila.
Yeah.
It's like there's no gray area. That's awesome. And how far in advance would you recommend like a hair and makeup trial before their actual day?
Sometimes what we'll do is a lot of the time brides don't always want to give a deposit until they've had a trial just so they know what kind of look they're wanting and getting a good vibe for the artist. So I have a lot of brides that they'll book about a year in advance and they'll usually do like a trial for their engagement photos, and which is also really great too, because then you can see how the hair and the makeup photographs with your photographer.
Yes.
And I can see some photographers that do like the very like dark and moody kind of styles. It's really popular now. I find you have to be really light-handed with the makeup because the makeup photographs so much darker and color tones can change. So if you have like a baby pink lip gloss on in the photos, it can look like a dark maroon kind of color.
Oh,
you have to be really careful with that too. So I recommend that. And then sometimes what my brides will do if they had a trial for their engagement photos, but say it was in the winter time, then getting closer in the summertime, they'll have a second trial. And that's when they go to have their trial for rather like a bridal shower, or they'll go to have a dress fitting so they can see the look closer to the wedding date and make any little tweaks if they need to.
And their skin tone's probably a little bit different depending on the season too.
Summer.
And or perhaps they found a new inspiration image and they want to try it out. And again, I mean, that happens all the time with Pinterest and social media these days, is people bring new ideas or change their mind. So it's always good to do a second trial if that happens.
For sure.
Nice. And timing, Veronica, you mentioned that's such a good point, because obviously as a planner, I do my best with building out a timeline and we account for the amount of time it's going to take for hair and makeup. But on average for hair and makeup, and I can ask you separately because they're two separate pieces, often aren't happening simultaneously. Sometimes they are. How long would you recommend for, you know, bride and then each bridesmaid?
Usually for the bride, I give about an hour.
Okay.
The great thing is with the bride, I've already had her trial, so we know exactly what look we're going to be doing. So a lot of the time, I'll give an hour, depending on if she's going to have her photographer there to do photos, then I'll add in extra time. If the photographer is not going to be there, definitely I can do the look within 45 minutes to an hour, depending. But if the photographer is going to be there taking photos, I usually need like about an extra 30 minutes just because the photographer will move her in different spots and they'll want to do poses and move things around. So that's going to take more time. And then I find for the bridesmaids, usually on average, like 35, 45 minutes for makeup each. And then the bride is an hour.
Yeah. Okay. And for hair?
I would say for the bride, about an hour and a half. Because you want to make sure that everything's perfect. You want to get the hair pieces in perfect. You know, if they're bringing hair extensions, you want to make sure that everything's strategically placed. The veil, all the hair accessories as well. So an hour and a half is a good amount of time for a bride. And then for the bridesmaid, just a little bit less. So 45 minutes to an hour for a bridesmaid, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I always advise, like, for couples that don't have a planner, to obviously talk with their hair and makeup artists and let them know how many people are doing hair and makeup. And then we'll basically reverse engineer the schedule. You know, whatever time they need to be ready, we'll reverse engineer it. And that's your starting time in the morning, because you don't want to be rushing through your hair and makeup. You want to enjoy the morning, maybe have a mimosa, you know, have fun and chat with
the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to make sure there's time for that.
So yes, the takeaway there is just more time is better.
Of course. And you don't just overestimate rush. And overestimate. Then you can always.
Yeah, it's good to have a buffer.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
No. And especially, you know, the photographer does show up. You're going to get some photos, you know, putting on the dress, and you want to take those photos in the room or wherever you're getting ready before you head off to your ceremony. And that all does take more time than one initially thinks.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be late for your own ceremony.
Oh my gosh, no. Though I do recommend, usually when I do large parties, I'll always start with like the moms and then the bridesmaids. And then I always like to do the bride last.
Okay.
Just because everyone waits for the bride. No one waits for a bridesmaid.
Right.
And the great thing is when the bride's done last and the photographer comes, then they can come and they can do photos of the dress hanging, the jewelry, the details, some behind the scenes makeup and hair photos, but the bridal party and everyone's ready so they can get dressed and then help the bride into the dress. So you don't have to worry about people missing from your photos, which is always good.
Awesome. So you'd recommend the same bridesmaids first?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and the bridesmaids, when they're ready, they're able to help the bride with anything,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So if they have to do a little bit of running around or if they need to tend to the bride in any way, then they're all set and ready to go to
pour
do that.
The mimosa.
Yeah, get the mimosas. The artist needs some too.
Yeah.
They're on hand. Yeah. Who knew that? I mean, I did know, but I don't know if all makeup and hairstylists are actually like little mini wedding planners. I feel you both have such, because you have such a different perspective of the wedding day, and you are the first with, you know, your client at the beginning of the day before anyone else is there.
Yeah. And I find too, like, it's great when, you know, you're doing weddings and you have a relationship with the wedding planner like we have. And if there's, you know, something going on at the hotel or the house and they need to contact the wedding planner, you can be like kind of the eyes and ears and be behind the scenes to help out on anything that might need to be helped with.
You are so good with that. Both of you are. So thank you, just from my perspective. And that's really good for any planners that are listening, is to really get that, you know, have those relationships with all of the vendors, including the hair and makeup team. I remember, Jasmine, we were working on a wedding and I had to be with such a tight setup time at the venue where normally I like to be with the bride, at least check in wherever they're getting ready. But they were like a world away. I'm at the venue, focusing on the decor and the details, and they were running behind, and Jasmine very kindly gave me the heads up, and then their limo broke down on the way to the ceremony. This is like a really nice limo. It's not like we hired, just it overheated, and you know, Jasmine was the one on the other end, so it took that, you know, stress off of the bridesmaids and the bride. So I was communicating directly with Jasmine versus, you know, them, and we could, and she helped me keep them
together.
Calm. So that, you know, that's, thank you for that, and that's just another reason to really, you know, all the behind the scenes stuff. But one, well, obviously the bride in that case, normally I say, you know, stuff happens and the bride doesn't ever need to know. But in that case, it was, we couldn't avoid it. But at least the guests didn't know, you know, we handled it. It
everyone
worked out.
Beautiful.
Everything looked, everyone looked amazing. But anyways, I know this is such a variable question, but I want to talk about like what on average hair and makeup costs. And I know I always use the analogy, well, what does a car cost? Like, do you want a Volkswagen? Do you want a Maserati? I know that there's a scale, but if there's like an average we're in a metropolitan city. So I think that might, you know, that does come into play versus some of the smaller towns. But on average, what can one expect to pay for a, you know, bride hair, bridesmaid hair, and then bride makeup, bridesmaid makeup?
Usually on average, I find for like bridal makeup, it's around like 200, and then with trial around 300. So like hair and makeup together around 5 for a package for the bride only. And then bridesmaids, I try to keep it like 120 for the bridesmaids makeup, but that also includes like really good lashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then hair is around $100 for the bride. I feel like that's pretty on par in the industry for.
I'd have to agree. I think for hair, it depends how intricate, right? How much time the stylist is going to have to take to
and
do
like
everything.
Right.
Exactly. But 200 to 250 would be a good amount, I think, depending on where your stylist needs to travel to and how much work is going to go into the look. And for bridesmaids, I'd say about 150 like about 150 for the wedding day.
Okay. That's good. So there's just some, yeah, good averages.
Yeah.
Because I know people, you know, if they've never planned a wedding before, they've never been a part of a wedding, have no idea, right? So it's good to know from, obviously, you guys are premium artists in the community, but just a good, you know, a good point for them to take away. So tipping, is this, I know this is like, I get into like awkward conversations, but I mean, people don't know this stuff. And then they'll go to their planner. If they don't have a planner, who are they going to ask? So tipping, should they be tipping on their services?
I think it's kind of one of those things that's like, everyone sees tipping differently, but it's kind of like you go to a restaurant, you go to your hair salon, you go to your nail salon, you always tip. So it, on average, most people do tip. My favorite is like, when people like handwrite a card and they have like, you know, a little note in it. Like, I love those thoughtful details. But yeah, I usually find like on average, like 15%-ish is pretty average for tipping.
Mm-hmm. I think, and Jasmine, I want to know what your point of view is on this, but I never expect a tip on a wedding day. It's just, it's a nice bonus to have. Mm-hmm. So it's never expected, but it would be
appreciated.
Appreciated, definitely, because they've taken the time to come to you and do the mobile service. But it's never something that we expect.
I'm happy with a glass of champagne. A mimosa is a good tip for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always tell my couples too that, you know, there are certain vendors, like the catering staff, that's all built into their proposals and their invoices already. They are still getting tipped, but it's built in. Whereas a lot of people like musicians, hair and makeup artists, that's not built in. So it's, I know personal, it's a personal preference thing, but it's just, I agree with tipping everyone because it's just, it's a great day. They're going to work harder for you. And just to show that appreciation goes a long way too. And then, you know, people start having babies and they come back to you and they want their hair and makeup done and just kind of starts that rapport as well. Yeah. Right. And
definitely.
Anyway. We'll get right back to today's interview, but first I wanted to tell you about an exciting new workshop series that I'll be hosting for people just like you, brides and grooms-to-be that are planning their own dream wedding and need a little guidance on the what, why, how, when of wedding planning. Let me be clear, weddings can be daunting, overwhelming, expensive, and stressful, but they can also be so much fun if you can manage to plan a wedding within your budget with all the people you love the most and without any last-minute surprises. And I want to help you take the stress and fear out of the planning and make you feel prepared for what's to come. I've taken my decades of professional wedding planning experience and created a custom one-day crash course that will walk you in detail through all the steps you need to cover. The workshops will be starting this spring in Vancouver, but we will be touring throughout North America as well. So if you're interested and want us to come to your city, let me know. You will find more info on what's included in the workshop and can buy your tickets on my website, AllieArmstrongEvents.com. That's Allie with a Y, AllieArmstrongEvents.com. Okay, now back to today's interview. For the day of the wedding, I know you had mentioned like hair accessories and extensions. So obviously, a bride should know what their look, generally, what they want to see their look be before their trial. So they can bring any of that stuff for the trial. So you're not walking in day of going, oh, I didn't know you wanted to use that face decal or...
Please don't use lashes or those lashes.
Please don't use a face decal. I don't know why I said that. But, you know, extensions. Because we're also building those timelines around, you know, what you know going into the day. So I want to talk about hair extensions because we have the queen of hair extensions here.
Yeah.
Veronica. So Emmy Hair, you started this extension line. I want to hear from you. Why did you start this extension line? What's different about Emmy Hair and how can brides benefit from hair extensions on their wedding day?
Ooh, okay. So I know three parts. Parts to that. Okay. So Emmy Hair was created by my sister and I. We launched our brand about 5 years ago. All our hair is ethically sourced and manufactured, and we have all sorts of extensions. So we'll have brides sometimes come in for semi-permanent extensions, and those ones are applied to their hair about 3 months before their wedding, and it stays in their hair. We also have clip-ins, and clip-ins are, I'd say, the most popular choice for brides just because it's a temporary day of application. So they can have it added to any style that they want. Jasmine, you use them all the time all for the your time. Brides, which is awesome. And
I personally love clip-ins because you can say the bride for the ceremony wants her hair all down with the clip-in extensions, but then for the evening she wants it put up. So you can easily take the extensions out, move them around to create a different style that is easy. But if you have, you know, tracks in or something like that,
you can't put your hair
up a little bit.
Yeah, they're very versatile that way,
and they're right well priced, which is great too.
Yeah, very affordable. Like I said, ethically sourced, which people love.
Yes,
and very accessible. So they're available for sale just right in Vancouver at our store, which a lot of stylists love. They'll come pick them up and use them for their brides, or sometimes Jasmine will send her brides in and we'll do the service for them. Yeah, we'll color match. So it's really, you know, a lot of people think it's a really difficult thing to do to get extensions sometimes. And I think we'd like to break that stigma of extensions and just be like, you know what? They're accessible. Mm-hmm. They're not going to damage your hair. They're a great addition to your look for the day of and can really create something special for you on your wedding day. And they don't have to be this big, crazy thing. Production. Yeah.
And I don't want to go talk too much about myself, but I have tape-ins and I've been using Emmy hair for a few years now, and they're so light. And because when I had my son, I lost so much hair, and having them just really makes me feel so much better, because I'm known for having like long blonde hair. And my son, it was like I had like bald patches. Yeah. So really to have the confidence, it just has changed my life in the last couple of years. Just makes me feel so much better. And it is, they can make such a big difference. And you want to look your best on your day. And it is surprising how just adding some, even a few clip-ins can really like take your look to the next level.
Definitely. And that's actually why we started our brand. My sister lost a lot of her hair after pregnancy. And then it sparked something in us to want to create this line of extensions to help women regain confidence. And exactly what you said, just help them feel great. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's one piece, sometimes it's 10 pieces, but there's something for everybody.
Do you have like the Ariana Grande like ponytails?
We do.
My client actually got one.
Did she?
Yeah, for her photo shoot today. Awesome. She got one. I sent her to you.
So good.
I have always wanted an Ariana Grande.
We just got them in.
I think that will be our next podcast.
Yeah. Tribute to Ariana.
Yes. I mean, who doesn't want a big full ponytail?
So good.
So just sticking with you, Veronica, for a moment here. Hair health, like what can a bride do leading up to their big day to make sure that their hair is in the best shape? When do you recommend they color it before the wedding day? All those, you know, tips that you can share.
There's a lot that a bride can do. It just depends what her end goal is. So if your hair is black right now and your end goal is to be blonde by the time your wedding comes around, or if you're dark brown and you want to be blonde, you need to start that routine of going to the salon months before, because you're not going to get to your goal in one day. Mm-hmm. So I would say what she can do to help that is to book some appointments for color and progressively go like get lighter and lighter towards your appointment. But at the same time, do treatments, purchase professional products, and just make sure that you're taking care of your hair, getting regular trims, using what your stylist is telling to use for your hair. There's also really great treatments that salons provide that are for building back the bonds in your hair, like just helping the cuticles look shiny again after color treatment and all that stuff. So you just want to make sure that you're regularly seeing your stylist and working towards a goal together.
Great. And then trends. This is for both of you. What are we seeing for hair and makeup trends coming down the pipeline? Is there anything that's like different, or are we still seeing more people want to stay in that classic bride?
I always feel like classic is always very, like that's never goes out of
classic
style.
Always wins.
Yeah. But yes. I do find like for summer, like at this time of the year, because the weather is so hot, and I find most people just want a very natural look, but there's difference between like natural where it's like, you know, you look like you just got out of the shower, but natural that's a beautiful mix of being photo ready.
Right.
But then also good in person and also able to stay all day. So the one thing a lot of my brides always say, like even when I do their makeup at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. for an early morning ceremony, they always say that it stayed all day. And I think that's really, really important is choosing good products that are going to keep your makeup from fading or melting or smudging. Yes. So that's really important. But yeah, definitely natural is a very big trend.
So what would you focus on? If someone comes to you and they want natural, you know, what elements are still very important to consider? Like what would you still do to one's face if they want natural?
I think with natural is definitely the one of the most important things with any makeup is the skin. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I have brides that come in for their trials, I always talk about their skin goals, things that they might need to do before the wedding to have their skin like as flawless and clear as possible. And so I always say, like, don't do anything drastic. Don't go for a facial and then a spray tan in the same day. Right. Don't do anything that you've never tried before. And if you are, try it months and months before. Like if you've never tried lash extensions, try them months and months before, just in case you might not love them or you might have a reaction.
I'm allergic
to them.
I had the worst reaction.
Allergic to them too. Yeah. So I, and then also if you're going to say get a Umi lash lift, like things like that, like your lashes will be extra curled for a couple of days. It's good to do that a couple of weeks beforehand. But I always recommend to have like the main focus being the skin. So I want the skin to be flawless and clear and glowing. And then that way, whatever I put on, like blushes, eyeshadows, lashes, it'll just make the look flawless. That and I love beautiful lashes. I love using. So those are probably my two main things. It's like a good highlight, fresh skin, and big lashes.
And where do you highlight? Like what are the important areas to highlight?
For highlighting, I always find there's a couple key points of where you want to highlight that are my favorite. So I always highlight on the cheekbone. It looks beautiful in photos, especially if you have natural light photographers. Whenever you have highlight in the cheekbone, it makes your skin look so luminous in the photos. I always love that. If I have clients that have a little bit of issues with like their nose, like if they want to kind of shorten their nose, I love doing a little highlight right on the tip of the nose. It looks really beautiful in photos. It kind of perks your nose up a little bit. And then highlight in the inner corner of the eyes because that makes the whites of your eyes look brighter. So your eyes look bigger.
I'm learning stuff right now.
And for those brides that are getting married, say in destination and they maybe don't have the budget to bring their hair and makeup artists with them, I assume you can teach them these tricks.
So I actually have a lot of clients that I've done like destination wedding lessons. So I'll meet with them a couple times and we'll go, and sometimes I'll meet with them and even a bridesmaid and we'll do like a lesson on both of them. So they have each other to kind of help other. And it's fun for even like the bridal party because then if they're all getting ready, they can all have good quality makeup. Because I find a lot of the time when you go to destination wedding locations, they don't always have the most high-end quality products that they use. So if you're bringing your own makeup with you, then you can get the best of the best. So I usually do a series of couple different lessons with my brides, teaching them like what products are going to be best for the type of climate they're in, and then also how to achieve the look that they want. That's easy.
Love that. You mentioned products. Mm-hmm. Can you share some of your favorite products?
There's so many. So like, when I talk about the highlight, I absolutely love Becca. Like Becca highlights are my favorite. And she has a collection that just launched. It's the Champagne Pop collection. So it's like all rose gold packaging, all Champagne Pop highlights. But I personally like the powder highlight, the pressed powder highlight, because I feel like that one's a little bit easier to work with. You can use it on the cheeks. You can use it on the eyes. It's really, really lovely. That's one of my favorites. I always stick with a lot of brands that I find are makeup artist brands that have been like tried, tested, and true. And like I'm a big fan of Laura Mercier and Bobbi Brown, and I've worked with them for almost 19 years. So I find that they're very classic, and they're always going to be like what you like when you need them, they're there. It's not a trend product where like it comes out for a month and then it's gone. It's very classic. I love Charlotte Tilbury products. I love her eyeshadows. They're so beautiful. She has these cream eyeshadows that anyone can use. They're absolutely stunning. And then I guess for lip color, I love the Marc Jacobs. They make beautiful lip colors and they're very hydrating. They're a little touch more expensive than some of them, but they're really, really good quality.
And I find brides tend to, if they're going to invest, it's going to be for their wedding day. A lot of people pick a specific color just for their wedding day. So that's like a good investment.
Exactly.
You know, we know that you're going to have it in your kit, but it doesn't hurt for them to invest in their own.
I always recommend, because sometimes brides, they have it in the budget and they don't, they'll book to do a touch-up or a second look, which I do recommend, especially if you know you're going to be very emotional on the wedding day. It's always good to have a touch-up or a second look. But if you're not, I always recommend that they purchase the lip colors and then maybe like a little touch-up kit, like a powder, just so they have something to freshen up the makeup throughout the day. Even though like I find when I do the makeup, it stays all day lovely, but the only thing you do need to touch up is your lips.
And powder. If it's hot,
you
can't control the elements sometimes. Yeah. So yeah, powder, lipstick.
And you're good to go.
And then on the hair side, one question I wanted to ask you is, do you prefer people wash their hair morning of, day before? Like, what's best for you?
Our team prefers the day before. Okay. So if your hair, brides know their hair the best. So if their hair is oily, they want to wash it the day before. But towards the end of the day, if you have a drier scalp, then it's okay to do any time the day before. But the main thing is you want to make sure that your hair is completely dry before you start styling it.
Of course.
If there's any moisture in the hair, the style's not going to stay. So that's the main thing is wash the day before, because if it's slightly worn and if it's slept on, that's totally fine because you're going to get it curled and stuff like that. But
you say the dirtier, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true.
Yeah, it's true. Exactly. There's going to get a pound of hairspray on there anyway.
And dry shampoo if you really need it.
Exactly. So just make sure it's completely dry before it gets styled.
Okay. Is there anything else that you feel like we should touch on here? Because I feel like we've covered so much and you've given us such incredible tips.
I would say the one other thing I always recommend is for the bridal party too. So I always find the most fun about going to any party is getting ready. And when you have your bridesmaids and your favorite people that you've chose to be with you on the day of, don't you want to get ready with them? So I always find the most fun bridal parties, like the days that we have the best time, is when the bridesmaids and the bride are all getting ready together and they're all getting their hair and makeup done. Because I always find there's what happens sometimes is there'll be one or two and they decide that they want to do it themselves to save money. But then on the day of, they'll start seeing everyone get ready and then they decide that they want to get, but we don't have always time allotted for that because we'll base the day on how many people
have confirmed.
And so if there's an add-in, sometimes those add-ins can't be added in because there's not enough time.
I also recommend
if you are going to have a large party to try and keep with one team and like have that team expanded. So say you have like a bridal party of 10, it's better to have your bridal team with their people instead of hiring two separate teams. Because what can happen sometimes is their styles can be completely different and the level of the service can be completely different. So sometimes you'll get, you know, half the team with one team looking fabulous and half the team
like
with another.
Hair stylists and then two makeup artists, what you're saying.
Yeah.
So then their looks don't mesh.
Not as cohesive.
Yeah, but they're together. Team.
Right.
Because when I arrive on location, say I'm doing a group of 10 people and I have my other artists with me, we have like a powwow of like, okay, so the girls are going to have this look. This is the products we're going to use. These are the things that we're going to do today. And we're all having fun. Everyone's together. And we're also on the same timeline. So if I'm doing someone in 45 minutes, my second artist is doing someone in 45 minutes. So everyone's ready at the same time. That's one of the most important things I'd recommend when looking into bigger parties.
And who generally, I mean, I know I did an episode on etiquette, so there's no like right and wrong answer here, but mm-hmm. in your experience, do you find like the couple or the bride will pay for the bridesmaids to get their hair and makeup done?
Usually, so
more often than not, you're seeing usually the bride picking up that tab.
Yeah, it's usually like her gift to the bridal party, as you know, because I find bridal party gifts are very like kind of, I don't see them as much anymore. They're not as extravagant. So I find like get your bridesmaids a cute robe, maybe a pair of earrings or a lip gloss, and their hair and makeup. That's, you know,
pamper them too.
Yeah.
And so everyone has an awesome experience.
Yeah. And that way the bride can choose the look too, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. If she has a look that she wants everyone to have, or if she has, mm-hmm. if she wants everybody to look the same for photos and mm-hmm. just for everyone.
Consistency.
Yeah. Just for consistency, then she has more ability to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's peace of mind too, because you know, I've had many times where I've had bridesmaids contact me last minute because they find out that the bride never booked them anyone for hair and makeup. And then they're feeling stressed and they're getting ready somewhere else. And then they have to just show up. So it's mm-hmm. nice when everyone's together.
You know, on a day like a wedding day, you want to bring in the professionals. I think that's bottom line. You know, mm-hmm. even going to a nice party, it's nice to have your hair and makeup yeah. done. And so why wouldn't you for your wedding day? Same goes for bridesmaids. They're in all the photos as well and a part of the big day. So unless someone's a makeup artist themselves or a hairstylist themselves, it's always good to bring in the pros. The pros,
yeah.
absolutely. But
and then if everyone looks good, they feel good, and it's a fun day.
Photos are great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the hairstyles last, the makeup lasts.
Yes.
So it's perfect.
It's all great. Well, ladies, thank you for joining me today.
Yay.
It's awesome to have you and hear your tips and tricks. And I hope everyone got some great tidbits out of today's episode. And if you have any ideas or want to send me any questions, you can reach me on Instagram at Events by Allie. And we'll see you next time.
Woo.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me today for another episode of Almost Married. I hope you all feel a little more prepared and excited for planning the wedding of your dreams. If you have any questions you'd love me to cover or ideas for future episodes, I would absolutely love to hear from you. And you can connect with me on Instagram at Events by Allie, that's A-L-Y, or on my website, www.alliearmstrongevents.com, where we have tons of other resources on the website for you to help you create a beautiful, personal, and stress-free wedding day. And if you are so inclined, you can also sign up for my workshop series on my website as well. Last but definitely not least, I would be so appreciative if you left a rating and review of this podcast in your favorite podcast app. It really does help get the word out to other almost married couples who need a little help along the way, and better yet, share this podcast with other brides or grooms-to-be. Thank you again, lovelies, and I hope you join me back here next week where we'll tackle another need-to-know wedding challenge. Bye for now.